Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are now on the fourth class of our cooking series, Cooking on Shabbos. And we have some late breaking news from Anita Friedlander, who went out in the field and did research on the very important question of real lemon juice that is usually in those big bottles. The plastic, whatever.
The round little circle,
but they make them also in bottles. It's also real lemon. And we were wondering if you could put lemon juice in a second vessel. Because if it wasn't cooked before, we could have problems putting it in a second vessel. And we need to do research. And the researcher from the field found out that it is cooked. It is cooked. So now you know, with at least for the real lemon company, we can't speak for other companies, that you could put the lemon juice in the second cup of tea, but you couldn't put a lemon in a second cup.
A real lemon.
You couldn't put a real lemon, but you could put real lemon juice. Okay? Now we have that information. You're ready to take a little evaluation here. Don't be nervous. We're not going to call on you to publicly humiliate you. We will not grade this and send you back with a 42%. You know, you go back to summer school.
You have to get it signed by your children.
But could you review last lesson?
I'm not reviewing nothing right now. I can't.
It's on the website.
It's on the website.
Yeah, you have to have time to look.
So you have a son? You have a son?
I was not here.
I know. But everybody else was. Don't worry, this will be a review, and to review it would take forever. So, this is what you gotta do. I got this from an interesting place, and what I want you to do, we'll do this together. One question at a time. Okay? And if you wanna volunteer the answer, you can volunteer the answer. If you don't wanna volunteer the answer, you don't have to volunteer. Keep your own score. There's a total of 24 questions. Give your own score. No one has to know it but yourself. Okay? And let's start with question number one. Bishul is defined as any activity that A, utilizes the power of heat. B, changes food through heat.
Yes.
Wait a minute. I didn't finish. C, involves a kitchen stove. D, changes an object's physical structure through heat. How many think it's A? Very good. How many think it's B? How many think it's C? How many think it's D? Okay, don't know is okay. The preferred answer is D. D. Because halachically, bishul is defined as using heat to change the physical structure of an object. Okay? Not necessarily limited to food. Okay? B is not a bad answer. It's not totally incorrect. But D is the better answer.
So.
Okay. Yes?
Is raw versus cooked a physical structure change?
That's nothing to do with raw versus cooked. But it's part of the physical structure change. Okay, two is going to be a little tricky because I know what you're going to think. What is the generally accepted temperature at which bishul occurs? There you got your numbers. 100 Fahrenheit, 113,
133, 212. And it's on the answer one, I'd say D.
Okay, remember which bishul occurs. I know. Can't use your nose.
It changes.
Oh, yes, we did specify the temperature, but this is off by about 3 degrees.
Yeah, it's
It's off by about 3 degrees. It's a little differences over here. We said 110 degrees Fahrenheit is Yad Soledes Bo, remember? So 113 is close enough. We're not going to nitpick over 3 degrees over here. All right? Next question. A bowl of soup is considered first vessel, second vessel, third vessel, none of the above.
Depends how it gets there.
Whoa, that's a clever fellow. Depends how it gets there. Okay, what if I pour from a pot right into the bowl?
That's the second
vessel. What if I use a ladle?
Well, according to some opinions,
it's a machlokes. If it's a second and third vessel, and therefore we're stringent in certain areas, where are we stringent? uncooked spices will be stringent, right? But what wouldn't we be stringent with? How about those croutons? Croutons. So, you know, isn't a machlokas to some degree it's a second utensil, some degree it's a third utensil. All right. What? If you don't know, that's fine.
If it came out of that object.
Okay, four. Is the action of melting ice to room temperature considered bishul? Yes, always. Yes, but only if done in large quantities. Yes, but only if the ice was not previously in a melted state. No, in all cases. Put your number answer down. Okay.
What do you mean by melting ice?
Take a piece of ice and just leave it in the room and watch it melt.
Or grass grow.
Sid, have you written your answer?
I'd say no.
You'd say no in all cases. How many people think Sid is correct? I guess because he's a teacher, people think Sid knows what he's doing, right? Anybody have a different answer? Everyone's afraid now to give a different answer. Just want to be the only one. Okay, the answer is no in all cases, because Bishul only takes place when heating to the point of Yad Soletispo. You're not heating anything, you're just melting it to room temperature. There's no act of Bishul. Now, this might be prohibited under a different halacha of nolad, which is changing something into a different form altogether, which we're not even going to get into. I'm not saying you're allowed to do it, but one thing we're saying, it's not bishul. It's not cooking. Okay. Oh, we're going on to the next page already. Which type of heat constitutes bishul? And I'll add, on a biblical level, electric, gas, solar, or A and B? A and B, that was an easy one. Cooking in direct sunlight is not considered bishul biblically, but rabbinically it's prohibited. But it's not a biblical prohibition. Okay. Six. Which of the following, that why it's an easy question. Which of the following is an act of bishul? Stirring a pot of food that is cooking, melting metal, baking bread, all the above. All the above. See, that's why in the first question it wasn't restricted to food. Okay. Okay, short answer. Don't you love those questions? Why is a second vessel less capable of causing bishul as compared to a first vessel?
Cool down.
It doesn't reach the temperature.
Well, the food in the second vessel no longer has the hot walls of the first vessel to sustain its level of heat. Additionally, the cold walls of the second vessel actually cool the food that is poured into it. Right? That'll be a nice answer. Short answer. Late Friday night, Mrs. Cohen suspects that the chulin cooking on her stove is not fully cooked. Now, I don't know why she does this. She takes off the lid to investigate and discovers that her suspicions are well-founded. May she put the lid back in place, and more important, why? Well, even easier. She cannot, because what would happen when you, since it's not fully cooked, putting it back on, it will concentrate the heat within the pot, will cause the cooking to take place more rapidly, putting a lid on. And that would be bishul. It wouldn't be a problem with your droplets because it's still hot on the top. Unless it was a long time, then maybe that would become a problem. Oh, guess what? We're going back to question number one. How do you like that? Oh, it seems like a tricky test over here. Okay, how many got 8 out of 8 on the first round? Yeah? 7 out of 8? 6 out of 8? Okay. Next. What is Irui Kli Rishon? Pouring into a first vessel, pouring from a first vessel, pouring into a second vessel, pouring from a second vessel.
B.
you say, Stan?
I'm sorry, I'm way back in
the... Okay. Okay. Sorry. What do you say, ladies? How many people think it's B? How many people think it's A? The answer is B. Okay, that's Irui, pouring from a Kli Rishon. Okay. That's right, obviously.
Zero, minus one.
What is the definition of a Kli Sheni? A utensil on the heat source, a utensil that was on the heat source but has been removed, a utensil whose contents were previously on a heat source, a utensil that loses all its heat. What was that?
C.
No. D. C. D.
Previously on a heat?
A utensil that loses all its heat.
No, it doesn't lose all its heat.
Would it be a cliche if it lost all its heat?
No. No, because it can still go
well, cliche. How does something become a cliche? You pour contents from a Kli Rishon into a Kli Sheni. So C, a utensil whose contents were previously on a heat source. The heat source was the Kli Rishon. You pour it into the Kli Sheni.
No, if you had a pot that's on the stove and you take it off the heat source.
That's a Kli Rishon.
So that's why
it but it means whose contents were previously on a heat source. Okay. Don't worry, just having fun here. Three, which type of uncooked food may be placed in a first vessel? Salt, unground spices like ginger and cinnamon, water and oil, none of the above. Even off the heat, first vessel. None of the above. Nothing uncooked may be placed in a first vessel, even if it's removed from the heat. Of all the above mentioned items, which could be put in a second vessel?
Salt.
What else?
Water
and oil. But that's not a first vessel, so out of luck. Okay, this is a tricky question now. So far the question has been really easy. The answer was, we didn't do four. I'm trying to talk in your language so you can understand my answer. Okay, what was the answer? To number three was none of the above. We didn't do it yet. Okay, this is a hard one. May one pour gravy onto vegetables? Well, yes, if the vegetables were already cooked. Yes, if the gravy is warm but not hot. Yes, if the gravy is in a third vessel. Yes, in all of the above situations.
But also, if it's a third vessel, doesn't cook.
Well, look what it says. The vegetables were already cooked, right? So the answer is yes in all the above situations.
Yeah.
Now, if the first vessel liquid of gravy was poured onto a solid, uncooked vegetable, then we'd have a problem, right? That would be a problem because that would be an act of bishul, so we don't pour hot gravy on it. But if the vegetables were already cooked, that's all right. Can't do anything to something that's cooked already, right?
If the
gravy's warm but not hot, can't do any problems. The gravy's in a third vessel, can't do any problems. Then, now, there could be problems where there isn't.
If the vegetables were very hot.
Were already cooked.
Yeah, they were hot, but the gravy was cold. You like to put cold gravy.
Ooh, you want to go backwards now.
No, you're pouring, it says you're pouring.
Well, we're assuming. We didn't say cold gravy.
No, but it doesn't.
We're assuming it's warm gravy. Okay. Usually you pour warm gravy, don't you? Let's assume it's warm gravy.
Cold gravy is usually congealed.
Okay, let's go on. Okay, now this one's going to really drive you nuts. May one put a marshmallow into a cup of hot milk on Shabbos? Okay, I'll give you a hint. A marshmallow is already cooked. It's already cooked. It's already cooked. So, the answer is?
No.
A. Yes. Yes, because it's already been cooked. Listen, a cup can never be a kli rishon. Right? Can I, what? What's the matter? I don't care. There was hot milk that was warm before Shabbos. I just poured it into a cup.
You know it's not a first vessel because it's in a cup.
It's a cup. You ever find a cup being a first vessel?
We talked about that last week.
Right? Even if it's a first vessel, you know, it's a first vessel off the fire. Even if it's a first vessel, it's off the fire. Okay? Okie dokie. Number six. Kale habishul. Easily cooked foods refers to A, foods that cook in a first vessel even though it is no longer connected to a heat source but cannot cook in a second vessel. Foods that will cook even in a second vessel. Liquids that will cook even at a temperature lower than yatzo lettuce bow. Solids that will be considered cooked even though they have not reached the state of food called food of ben jusoy. Come on, Anita. Everyone's relying on you.
I would say it's B. No.
B is correct. Is correct. Kali hay bushel. Remember we said you can really cook anything but kali hay bushel, but since we don't know what kali hay bushel is, we prohibit almost everything except for the exceptions. So in a second utensil, things that can be easily cooked cannot be put in there, and since we're not sure, we're strict on all of them. Okay? Yes, ma'am. No, that was, it could be in a second. They just threw that in, you know. You know, these are multiple choice, so it makes you crazy, right? Okay, number seven. Okay, this one is going to be fun. Which of the following statements is not true? Don't you love those? Not true. I wanted to say it's false. There is no bishul in a third vessel. Tea essence may be placed in a second vessel.
Yes.
Hot water may be poured from a first vessel onto a raw carrot because only the outermost level of the food will be cooked.
No.
A liquid that is scalding hot may have the status of a first vessel even when the liquid is actually in a second vessel.
It only can be one of them.
Well,
I'll say C.
Maybe it could be two. No, it's just C. Just C. Okay. Okay.
So when it's a second utensil, can you
consider? Really, it could be D also. So it seems there's an argument.
But that second utensil doesn't.
Let's say C and D. Okay. C and D. Give you two. Okay. What? Well, this one had two. What can I tell you? It's okay, I'm not testing you. Like, we don't have to, it's not like, you know, is this for an entrance exam and we're fighting over questions here. Contrast pouring hot water from a kettle into a cup that contains a slice of lemon. Okay, that's one situation. Contrast that to pouring some drops of hot water into a bathtub filled with cold water. Explain the difference. You got hot water from the kettle. Woo! You got a lemon slice in the cup. Woo! You got that?
That's
Bishul. Now you got, you know, some drops of hot water in a bathtub filled with cold water. So, the first case, what do we say about the lemon? Are you allowed to do that?
No.
No, why not?
Cooking the lemon.
Cooking how much of it?
Whatever it touches.
The outside layer. Mm. Right? Whereas pouring a few drops in a bathtub is permitted. Why? Since the heat quickly dissipates in the cold water, never has a chance to cook any of the cold water. You like these questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Number five, next page.
Number one again.
But it says page five. So number one again. Can't get past the first question. A ladle is somewhat unusual in halacha, since it A, B, C, or D. Goes directly into the pot, is round in shape, has a long handle, heats up the pot.
A,
since the ladle goes directly into the pot and the ladle itself gets heated up, some authorities treat it like a first vessel. A roasted potato is somewhat unusual in halacha, since it, A, comes directly out of the pot, heats up the plate, is sold. Solid. It's not sold. It's solid and retains its own heat and is, or is often coated in gravy. What?
C.
Anybody have a different answer? C? I heard a B somewhere. Then again, my hearing is pretty faulty. What do you say? You think C? What do you think, Paul?
I don't see anything unusual about either B or C. Any solid would do that.
Well, as opposed to regular
food?
Liquids. As opposed to liquids.
Liquid. Yeah, potatoes are solid and liquids are liquids.
That's right, solid,
well,
not sold.
C.
Here the food behaves like a vessel. A potato piece from a pot that's put on your plate is a solid food that has just been removed from a first vessel. The potato is therefore treated like a first vessel itself, according to many posts.
It would be the same as a hamburger or a chicken.
Yeah, that's true. Trick question, eh? The phrase, ein bishel acher bishel, teaches that on Shabbos it is permitted to cook foods in small quantity, cook in an unusual manner, reheat a cooked food, cook an inedible substance. See, ein bishel acher bishel means there is no cooking after cooking. I wish to add some matzah to my soup. How may I do this on Shabbos? Put the matzah directly in the pot of soup. Put the matzah into an empty bowl and pour the soup over it.
No.
Ladle the soup into a bowl and then add the matzah.
Yes.
It is not permitted. Which one?
See,
it is a bit of a stringency to say that we can't cook something after it's been baked. And also it's a bit of a stringency to say that a ladle is the first vessel. So when these two stringency emerge in the very same case, we can be lenient and add the baked matzah directly to the soup. Truth is, you can even put it in and ladle it right in as well, as we said last week. Okay. What? It's the same thing, same as matzah. Five. Which degree of vessel may use to make a hot cup of instant ground roast coffee? What do you say?
Second vessel. Thank you.
Second vessel. That's going to burn cook the outer shell. Remember those problems? Can't do it until you go into the second vessel. Liquid is considered halachically cooled if it is below scalding hot, below Yad Soledes Bo, room temperature, 38 degrees, equated to the temperature of the inside of a refrigerator.
Below Yad
Soledes. She knows it all, man. She can give the class. C. Room temperature, because it has, remember we said, as long as it's a bit warm, so below Yad Soledes Bo could still be a bit warm, but room temperature is bechlal not warm. Once the liquid cools off the liquid to room temperature, it's like it wasn't even cooked at all. Seven, short answer. What is the problem with reheating a piece of chicken with gravy that you have just taken out of the freezer? How should you solve this problem? Think about it for a minute first. Okay, what's the problem?
The gravy,
even though it's... Has the gravy been cooked?
Yes.
Of course it's been cooked. So why is it a problem?
It's cold liquid.
So now you can't reheat the gravy because at room temperature it will be a liquid. And then we go to the rule of a cooked liquid that's been cooled cannot be put in a second vessel, et cetera, would apply. Could only put in a second vessel, but not to to warm it up the way we're going to do it, right? So how do you solve the problem?
Take the gravy off.
First, remove the gravy in a way that takes into account the restrictions of Borer. That's another thing we don't want to get into. You got to get rid of that gravy in a way that it doesn't melt, it doesn't get cooked. All right, that's why we said it's always better to not freeze things with the gravy you want to use on Shabbos. Okay, short answer. Why does the rule, there is no cooking after cooking, not apply to liquids that have cooled off? It's like it's never been cooked at all. It's a machlokas, we said, but we are stringent on that. Okay, very nice. If you liked this type of test, there is a website called JewishPathways.com. One word, JewishPathways.com. Now, not everything in that website do I agree with, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And they have there in one of the lessons, they have the whole thing of cooking of Shabbos, about 36 lessons, and Bishul starts from lesson 19, I believe. And I think in lesson 20, there's a 3-minute video of how to make tea.
Wow.
Right. Anyway, it's a nice website. It's got all kinds of nice things, and they offer this service free of charge to anybody. And you can use that. That'd probably be a nice way to give you a little quiz on this. Yeah. Okay.
Cooking tea is which lesson?
Oh, something like lesson 20. Something like that. Okay, we now move on to our next exciting lesson. This is which class are we on now? Fourth class, right? And therefore, we get a new sheet. A new sheet. Okay, you want to be the mitzvah boy? Mitzvah man? Okay, and another one. But don't look at the other one until I give you permission. You'll be getting two sheets. Okay, those of you listening on the tape, people are getting two sheets. You didn't come to class, you don't get the sheets.
You go to westmarshall.com.
Well, no, we don't have them. Last week, there was no extra sheets last week. We further went with what we had last week, so you didn't miss anything. Last week was section B. We've been spending that last 2 weeks, so you're okay. Yeah, who's not here? Oh, Camilla, she's not well. Camilla, we wish you a refuah shleima, and the thousands in the audience that are listening will all say amen to your refuah shleima.
Amen.
Okay.
Hopefully by 10 minutes, she's well.
We are moving on to a topic which we kind of touched at, and now we're going to kind of get it fully at this point in time. Reheating and serving cooked foods. Right? And we learned that you could reheat certain foods on Shabbos. Right? Remember that? Right? Fully cooked dry foods, even if they've cooled off, can you reheat it? Yes. Fully cooked liquids that have not cooled off completely, you could reheat it. However, even though you may reheat it, certain restrictions apply as to the method of reheating. And this class is going to discuss the various methods of reheating which are permitted and which are forbidden. We'll also get into the discussion of a blech and other interesting halachas. So we're going to, any way you can warm up things, we will give you some advice on this. So we must learn one term, and that's the one you see right on the sheet. We wrote it in a Svardic way. I don't know why, but that's what it is. We'll say the non-Svardic way. Nesina lechatchila or netina lechatchila. Which means, nesina means to put, lechatchila means initially. Which means, in other words, we have enough. What don't we have? You need another one of those sheets? Do we have another one?
Yeah.
The list. With the list. We have. I made 15 copies. Do we have any more? It's not possible.
No, that's the same. No, the other one.
Pictures?
Which one do you want? The picture one?
No,
well, there's got to be more. Somebody's got like 3 or 4 copies on them. The
well,
one.
The
pictures, you need the picture now.
No, the one with the.
I
had it out of the call. All there was.
Okay, well, anyway, I know I made 15 copies, so someone will just find a copy. I'm really sorry, but I know who solved the missing copy. Someone has got 2 copies, they don't realize it. Okay. Maybe, you know, it's very thin pieces of paper. Okay. What can I tell you? This machine's not on, so you're going to have to wait 5 minutes till it warms up. Okay. Now, here's the issue here. Let's say you have something that you may reheat, like a dry solid or liquid that's still warm. Right? We've mentioned this many times. You're forbidden to place it directly over a flame or on any source of heat normally used for cooking. Remember we said, can you put a dry, cold piece of cooked chicken into a pot of soup on the flame? What was the answer? No. But I didn't tell you why. The answer is, this is called nesina lechatchila, which means you're not allowed to place even something that's completely cooked on a flame. Why is that a problem? Have you transgressed anything? Have you cooked anything? No. Have you transgressed the biblical prohibition of cooking? You can't, because it's already been cooked. However, the rabbis prohibit doing this, even though there's no cooking. Why? Because when you put food on the flame, here's the key words, it resembles cooking and might lead to actual cooking. Somebody sees you putting something right on a flame, and there you're guessing, and say, oh, look, the rabbi put food right in the pot, right on the flame. And they may not be so clever to know that it was a dry piece of cooked chicken. And they're going to figure, you know what? You can put anything on the flame, even if it's not cooked. And then you're going to get into big trouble. So it's a rabbinic enactment that does not allow you to do this. It's very important to know the difference between rabbinic and biblical, because in case a mistake happens, what will be the law then? So you go to a secular person, you go to a person's home who's keeping kosher, but didn't take all my Shabbos classes. We know under certain cases you can't eat someone's food on Shabbos, even if it's kosher. What if somebody takes something that was not cooked before Shabbos and cooks it on Shabbos? All kinds of problems you're allowed to eat on Shabbos. But here, if they took something that was fully cooked and just putting it back on, you really aren't doing any biblically wrong things. It was a rabbinic thing they didn't keep, so then maybe you could eat it. So that's why it's important to know the difference between rabbinic and biblical under certain extenuating circumstances. But still, you can't do it. And that's all we're worried about right now. You can't do it. You can't put something on a source of flame that it is normally, we normally cook raw things, even if the thing is fully cooked. Okay, that's called nesina lechatchila. You can't do this. Okay? Therefore, cooked foods which could normally be warmed up on Shabbos under certain circumstances may not be warmed up if you're cooking on a flame, on an electric range, or inside an oven. Right? You can't take a fully cooked chicken that's dry somewhere. How about a kli sheni off the fire? Of course. How about a kli rishon off the fire? For sure. You could do that. Right? You took the hot soup, took it off the fire. Whew, it's really hot. Whew, it's very hot. Right? You could put a cold piece of dried chicken in there. Yep. How about some leftover soup that's still a bit warm? Yep.
Still a little.
I said a little bit warm. Yep. Right? Now, but what about the soup that's on the fire? Can you put the chicken in there? Can you put the chicken in the oven? That's cooking. It's on. No, can't do that. You can't, because why? Because it looks like you're cooking. Looks like you're cooking. However, there are several unconventional methods of heating which nobody would think you're cooking for the first time. And that is what you're allowed to do. Right? As long as nobody would think you're cooking for the first time, then you can do this. So let's give you a number of examples. Example number one, how if you have a pot on the flame. Let's say you have a pot of soup that's cooking on the flame on Shabbos. It's warming on the flame. And now what do? You put a pot on top of the pot. Sounds like one of these Cat in the Hat movies, you know, stories. A pot on top of the pot, right? And that's nice and pretty warm on top of the pot, the pot on the pot, right? Could you put a dry piece of chicken on that?
Yes,
because nobody cooks chicken on a pot on top of a pot. Right? You just don't do that, right? You ever see anybody do that? No, you don't do that. Now, it really should be food in the bottom pot. If there is no food on the bottom pot, really you shouldn't do that.
Even if it's water, just water.
Well, water is food. Water is food. But an empty pot. An empty pot on an empty pot.
You burn the pot.
Well, forget about burning the pot, but could you do it? Well, really you shouldn't. But bidyeved, let's say the wife was a little bit rushed on Erev Shabbos, and she didn't put anything on the fire. But she was smart enough to put the burner on. And then she realizes she didn't put anything on the fire. Nothing. It's going to be only cold food on Shabbos. Her husband's going to come home an hour and a half later from shul. He's going to kill her. Because he's going to have cold food on Friday night. Whoa. That's pretty bad. Now, she can't put the food on the fire, can she? But you know, if she's really stuck, then maybe just put the pot on and then another pot on. And then, bidyeved, after the fact, you could do that. But that's not initially a good thing. It should have food or liquid in the bottom pot. So that's one way. So you, for example, if you have soup cooking on Shabbos, and you want to warm some cold chicken, just put a pot on top of the pot and put the chicken in it, and then you're okay. Then you're okay. That's one very unconventional method, right? That's not a problem, right? It's not a problem at all. How about if you have a crock pot?
Yes, crock pot. Yes.
Crock pot. And you put a pot on top of the crock pot.
Which normally is how it is.
No, a pot on top of a crock pot. That's not...
You have a base?
No. Okay, let's explain what a crock pot is.
I use one every show.
Right, a crock pot has a pot in the base.
Yes.
That is a crock pot. Now you're putting a pot on top of the crock pot. Now, is that the way you normally make food? No, you don't make food by putting a pot on top of a crock pot.
Sounds
right?
Like a crock to me.
Okay. All right, so now that would be okay with food. Remember, only about foods that can be reheated. Things that cannot be heated, we're not even talking about. Like, not fully cooked things. Forget about that. We're only talking about fully cooked things or...
You can warm up your challah
on top of the crock pot, because I never saw anybody bake a challah on top of a crock pot. Right? Now, assuming it's not going to burn it and toast it, you know, because then we have other problems, because now you're toasting after baking. That could be a problem. But I don't think that usually happens. So you can do that. So a crock pot is a very good source of heat beyond the crock pot food, but you could put something on top of the crock pot.
Can you just wrap it in foil?
In the first example, yeah, but I'm putting a pot on top of the pot.
The soup's on the flame before Shabbos.
Well, they put the soup on the flame before Shabbos, of course. And that's going to be next week's discussion, how and when you can do that. Okay? But assuming you've got, that's a whole other discussion. That's a whole other thing. You know, what can you leave on the flame before Shabbos?
That's why next, a woman couldn't put something in the pot.
That's next week's discussion. That's why she couldn't put the food on the pot in there. That's exactly right. It's going to be a problem. Okay, so you can put things on top of a crock pot. Because nobody ever cooks anything on top of a crock pot. That would be okay, right? Let's not talk about that right now. Let's leave that for another discussion. Okay, that's gonna suck me into another section I don't wanna get into right now. I don't wanna get into that right now. Another type of example is near the flame. Let's say you've got a burner on one of the burners, and now the counter is right next to the burner, right next to the burner. Okay, and if I put the food on the counter, here's the burner right here, here's the counter right here, and I put it there, the heat will warm at least one side of that food up. You could do that, because nobody ever cooks by putting food on the counter, even if it's next to the fire. So you could do that, couldn't you? As a matter of fact, what if you have just the oven on and all the elements are off, but heat is coming right through the elements? There's always the one, the right back one. A lot of heat comes through. And I just put a pot right on it. You know, you got the oven on at 350 on Shabbos. You could do that. You got food warming in the oven. That's fine, right? 250, whatever you want. And now the top four elements are off! Off! And you, but heat is coming through that fourth element, right? That happens often, doesn't it? Okay, you could put something right on top of that. Why? Because nobody cooks on a stovetop when the element's off.
It looks like cooking.
Doesn't look like nothing. The elements are all off. I never saw anybody cook with an element's off last time I checked. I mean, you know, could you, can I just, let's say the stove's off, completely off, right? Can I put something just on top of a burner? Of course you can, because the burner's off. No one's going to mistake and think that you cook, you know, when the burner's off, right? Now, of course, certainly, you could put something in a Kli Rishon, couldn't you, off the fire, even though that's going to warm it up, because nobody cooks something in a Kli Rishon off the fire, right? Ooh, now we get to one you really want to know about, the electric hot plate. The electric hot plate. So, this is the schmooze with the electric hot plate. Okay, the electric hot plate, many of them have only one temperature setting, right? There's no temperature knob. It just turn it on and starts to warm. I know some do, but I'm talking about them yet. I'll get to them in a second. I'm trying to keep it easy first. So I've never seen a person in their right mind take something raw and cook it on top of a crock, on top of a hot plate. Hot plates are meant for warming, right? Warming. You don't take raw chicken and cook it. Did you ever see anybody cook raw chicken on a hot plate? See anybody cook anything on a hot plate? Ever?
Just to keep it warm.
So you can put it on with no problem. I don't care how hot it is. Whoo, it's hot. Oh, I could burn my finger on it. I don't care. Get this question asked all the time. But it's really hot. I don't care if it's really hot. You can't cook on that. Remember, you can't cook it on that's already cooked. Right? It's already been cooked. You can't cook it again. Doesn't look like you're cooking. Nobody would think you're cooking if they see it on the hot plate, right? Even though I've seen those who say that it's prohibited, I don't understand why they're saying that at all. I just cannot understand why they say that. Okay? So they don't have to worry about it. Now, they do suggest, now I don't know about this, but there are some, now, oh, by the way, you have to make sure the hot plate is connected before Shabbos. You know, well, the rabbi said I could put on a hot plate, I just plugged it in, and it's okay. No, you can't ask me. The assumptions and everything we're saying is the fire is already on, the heat is on. Okay, that's you never know, somebody's listening, and first time listening. Rabbi Michal said you could put it, I plugged it, and he said he could put it right on a hot plate. So I just want to make sure that the people of lesser intelligence understood that. Okay, so now, what if you have an adjustable hot plate? Now again, so many people suggest an adjustable temperature settings is considered a conventional means of cooking and say it's not allowed. Again, I don't know. Do you have one with many settings?
Yeah, I have a drink pacing.
Yeah? So how high is the other setting?
It comes in three settings.
Okay.
One, two, and three.
Okay, one, two, and three. That's very, very, very good.
Low, medium, high.
Okay, so does anybody cook on those hot plates? Is setting three meant for cooking?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm trusting you because you're an expert cook. I don't know anything about, well, that's not true. I know a little bit, but I defer to the women in these issues here, right? You can't cook on it. Would you cook a roast on top of that? Would you boil eggs on top of it? Would you do anything on top of that? How about coffee? Would you make coffee? Brewed? You know, first, no. Okay. So, although I've seen in books that if it has a different settings, I would still think that's not a problem. However, you should put some tape over that settings in case you might be tempted to turn up the setting. Okay, that you'd have to do. You'd have to put some tape over the knob because then, you know, you'd think that it could be adjusted.
You're certainly not allowed to adjust the settings.
You for sure can't adjust any settings on Shabbos. You can't touch anything. You can just use it. You can't touch anything. In any of those cases, you gotta cover them up. All right? That's the first section. Again, so what unconventional methods can you use to warm up things? Class, what are they? Without looking on the sheets? You could put a pot on a pot, but the pot should have food in the pot below, but if not, it still could be used in a difficult situation. Pot on a pot without any food in the pot. What else?
On the bed,
You could what? Oh, you got another one now. How about on the urn? Oh, same as a crock pot. You could put a pot on the urn. You could put a challah on the urn. I never saw anybody bake a challah on top of an urn. Never, never, not once in my life. Right? Straight on, the urn has water. It'll go into the water if you put it right on. The lid, the lid. There's a lid. Right on top of the lid. And then I said it could be the challah right on the top. Right on top of the urn. Right on top of the urn.
For that matter, a pot on the stove with a lid upside down, you could put on top of that, couldn't you? Or could you not?
Intriguing. Well, I guess, yeah, I guess. I guess you could. Yes, that would be right. I was assuming you're going to put, like, a food in a pot on a pot. But you're right. Paul is correct. If you have a pot of soup on the stove, and now you just put a challah on top of the pot, you could do that too. Because no one ever would cook that way either. So that would be correct. Good shot. Okay? Okay, what else? What else can you do?
On top of the stove.
Now, you got to know, especially on Shabbos afternoon, there's limited hot plate space, right? Right? I mean, you know, right? So what else can you do? What?
On top of the stove.
On top of a stove that the inside of the stove is on, the oven is on.
Or even just an element is on, but you're not, it's not on.
But it's not on that element. You have this element on, but you have it on the other element. Or on the counter next to an element. And what else? The hot plate. The hot plate, and if it's got settings, you should cover over the settings. Okay? So that's the only things you could use, especially, you know, you're talking Shabbos day, to warm up things. So if you got a hot plate, you put something on the hot plate. You need more room on the hot plate, just put something on top of the crock pot. And if you need more room on the crock pot, then you can just put something on top of the urn. Now, this may make your urn fleishig. If you're putting a meat item on, putting a cold piece of chicken on top, you may have made your urn fleishig. So I would not recommend that. Maybe then you put the meat in a clean pot and put it on top, and then it won't make your urn fleishig. Okay? But so those are the methods that you have. Frankly, if you had a radiator in the old-fashioned radiators, you could put a pot on top of a radiator. Could do that too. If you've got a heated, what do you call, like that thing over there. That radiator. You could put a pot on top of that radiator if you wanted to. I never saw anybody cook anything on top of a radiator. Baseboard heater. You could put something next to a baseboard heater and do that. You know, we got to be creative. It's Shabbos, you know. So you got to think of, yeah?
Just a practical question. If you've got the crock
pot. Who wants to be practical?
The crock pot lid or the urn lid is slanted, so you can't really, can you take it off and turn it over?
Of course. You want to, and I'm going to repeat the question now. It's the first time I remembered. If you take, it's very, Paul is saying that the crock pot lid or the urn lid is usually oval shape or not exactly straight.
Convex.
And things, what was that?
Convex.
Excellent. And the chal's going to roll right off. So you want to pick up the lid, inverse it, and concave it, right? Then you could certainly do that. What's the difference?
If you take it off the chulent and then put it back again, you're
just opening the lid and putting the lid on. We're assuming the chulent is fully cooked.
Okay,
chulent is fully cooked.
You
could do that. How about something's in the chalowitz house? You know what happens? That the chulent sometimes in the crock pot gets way too dry, and the only way to save it is take it out of the crock pot and put it where? On the hot plate, which is less hot than the crock pot. But now what have I done? I've used important precious space from the hot plate. And where am I going to put the cold chicken the next day?
On top of the chulent on the hot plate.
So what will I do? Well, that's not going to be too warm. That's going way up, you know. So what you do is if I got a big plate, big, what do you call it, dish of chicken, cold chicken, I could put it right on top of the crock pot opening.
Mm-hmm. Let it doesn't have any food in it.
Doesn't matter. Nobody would cook that way, would they?
No, but we said you don't want to put
nobody
an empty
would
pot.
Ever cook that way. It's like an empty pot on top of the stove.
But you didn't want to do that without food in it.
In emergency.
No, but this isn't a real flame. It doesn't look like that.
This is the crock pot.
And it's like, you know, so you could do that because that's like really wild. Like nobody would ever cook on top of the crock pot, right? So you could do that too, okay? Yes, ma'am.
Is there any danger of toasting the challah if you put it
Yeah, so if you do put toast, I mean, to a challah right on a hot plate, you have to check out your pot plates, but it could toast it, and toasting it, we said, would be
cooking.
A problem, because you baked the challah, now you are roasting the challah. So that would be a problem. So better what you do is you get these little, what do you call these little,
trivets?
You know, things you put hot challah on, like when you take it off and you want to
cooling
sit and cool,
racks.
A cooling rack. Put a little cooling rack right on top of the hot plate. Put the challah on it. We'll keep it nice and warm, but we'll not toast it. It will not roast it. Toast it, roast it, whatever. Okay?
You certainly can't put the food in the empty crock pot.
You couldn't put food in the empty crock pot. That would be like really crock potting it, right? That would be, that's cooking. You cook in a crock pot, but on top of the crock pot, you wouldn't do that.
Does it matter if the food is cooked or baked if you're putting it on another pot?
Nothing much is happening. It's just warming up. It's not really... No, it's not really baking or anything. It's just warming up. Okay, that we're pretty good on that one. This was a practical 25 minutes for sure, okay? Okay, now the blech. First, you're all saying, what is a blech? It sounds terrible.
Tin in German.
So a blech is what?
Tin in German.
Okay, very good.
Yiddish.
Yiddish or German, it's the word for tin, T-I-N.
Tin.
That's a famous dog, Rin Blech Blech. Okay, I'm sure when you're a kid, you watched Rin Blech Blech, right? That's like the Froom version that they show in Muncie. Okay, anyway. Okay, you're still getting it? Okay, that's fine. Okay, so anyway, so a blech is a very handy thing to make because by putting one or two burners on the oven, the stovetop on, it creates a heat that goes across the entire piece of tin that usually is the size of the entire stovetop. And they've got a lot of room to put things. Okay? And that could be a very healthy way, halachically, to get a lot of things done. Okay? It's like a giant hot plate and a lot cheaper. You go to one of these hardware stores and they'll make you a blech. You know, the old-fashioned blechs where the knobs used to be right in the front of the oven, of the stovetop, and the blech would make an L shape, and would go right over the top and even cover up the knobs. But now they don't make ovens like that anymore, unfortunately. But you can still get these kinds of blechs. You can go and get any, or go to any sheet metal place and just give them the measurements of your stovetop and just plunk it right on the top. Now, there are ad hoc ways of doing that, and that's called an aluminum oven liner, which could function as a blech, although not as successfully because it's much smaller than the a tin that's been made to measure to your stovetop. But you could do that. You follow what I'm saying? Just take an oven liner, put it over the stove. It'll cover half the stove. Or you have a big one. I think the big ones might even be like the cookie sheets. You know, those aluminum cookie sheets, that's almost the whole size of the stovetop. You got to be very careful, though, when you're doing aluminum like that, aluminum pans. Why? Because you have too high of a setting on the flame, it will burn the aluminum. While tin, good solid tin, can withstand like a lot of temperature. But you could be using those kinds of cake baking pan, those aluminum, you know, the thin aluminum oven liner pans. That would be a method of making a blech right on the spot. And you may need to do that once in a while, which we will explain shortly.
How is that different, Rabbi? If you're taking a tin plate and putting on top of one element and putting food in it, that would be like cooking, wouldn't it?
I haven't discussed how we're going to use it yet. Okay. We're going to see how to use it. Now, I draw your attention just briefly to this other sheet of paper. Now, don't you dare read anything on it. It will just confuse you. But I'm using it for the purpose of a picture. Okay, you see the upper right-hand picture here? Well, the upper right-hand side is a picture of a stovetop. You didn't know that, but that's what a triangle is, a picture of a stovetop. And you see that thing on the right side, guess what that is?
What?
That thing on the right side is the burner.
The round one?
The round thing.
Oh, I see what you mean.
That's the burner. Now, there are three areas on a stovetop with a blech. Let's say that this blech is covering the entire stovetop, okay? This rectangle is covering the entire stovetop, okay? And let's say the upper right-hand burner is the one that's on.
just have one element.
Let's just say. You could have two, but let's just say one for the sake of argument. So now, that part right over the fire, that is considered right over the fire. There's going to be three spots on a blech that you have to be aware of, the three locations of a blech. There's a spot that's right over the fire. Whoa, that's hot. Whoa, man, I can't put my hand on that. That was really hot, right? And then the fire, from very hot, spreads. It dissipates as it spreads away. And then, just for the sake of argument, we just put a random line over here. And let's say until the midpoint, it doesn't have to be, but the heat around the rest of the blech to the first half is yad soled espo. Hand will recoil. But then as you move further away, it might be a little bit warm, right? But it's definitely, it's under 110. So it's not yad soled espo, but a bit warmish. Okay? So you're gonna have three levels in a blech. Now, if you may have two burners on and the whole thing could be yad soled espo, then you've limited your options. Okay? But technically speaking, now you have to prepare this before Shabbos and check things out to know what's going on. But you technically, now this is going to be very good. You'll see in a minute why this is really a good thing to have for those who like to do this. You're going to have one part that's got the concentrated heat. That's mamish right over the fire. Then anything passed over the fire that's very hot is yad soled espo. And then once you're under 110, you're under the yad soled espo area. Sometimes under 160, we'd have to see exactly. And that's the under the yad soled espo area. Okay? You got the three areas? Okay. Now, once you know the three areas, now let's talk about what you can do with these three areas. Okay? And this is all in the notes here. I got it right over here, right? So, number one. If you had, now remember, we're only talking about cooked foods again. Things that are uncooked, bad news. We're not talking about that. Cooked foods, which were never on the blech before Shabbos. You're taking it out of the fridge. Okay, do you think you could put it on the blech right over the flame?
No.
No way. No way. How about could you put it in the area that is yad soled espo for the first time? No. Can't do that. Either. Can't do that either. Why? Because that yad soled espo is coming right from the flame. It's like an extension of the flame. These are areas that are suitable for cooking and would very much look like you're cooking for the first time. There's your union with that pot, that empty pot. It's worse than a pot. It's not even a pot. It's just a thing on top of that, right? So that you cannot do. The only thing where you could put things on the blech if you didn't have anything on before is where? Only the pot that is below yad soled espo, under 110. You could be able to put your hand right there at that edge on the side of the blech, and you don't have to move it. That's the only place you can put it. It might take a little bit of the chill off. Not as good as a hot plate. Hot plate would be better than that, but that's all you had. But there are other interesting possibilities that might make this a very enriching experience to use a blech. Now we go to the next area, okay? Okay, you got me? We're on section C now. Now, rearranging pots on the blech. Now, this is very interesting. Let's say it's before Shabbos, and they got a lot of stuff on this blech. You got stuff right on top. You got the soup right on top of the flame on Shabbos. That's okay. You got a blech there. And then right next to it, where it's very hot, you've got the chicken and you've got the rice and that stuff. And then further out, you maybe have some of the kugel in the area that's not so yad soled espo, but that's okay. I don't need to be so hot or whatever. Okay? You got stuff all over this blech. That blech's holding a lot of things. You put it on all Arab shops. It was there on Arab shops. Now you want to do some maneuvering. Can you do any maneuvering? So here's the rules. Foods that were left on the perimeter of the blech, the non-yad soledis part, can never be moved into the yad soledis region and beyond. Because they weren't really that hot to begin with, and now you're kind of, it's considered, in this area, yad soledis is considered like the flame itself. You cannot do that. Okay. But, and it's common when several pots are left on a blech on Erev Shabbos, one or two could be in the non-yad soledis bow, and those things can never go back to the yad soled espo part. Can't. Now, on the other hand, fully cooked food that's left within the Yad Soledes Bo area, the hot area, but not right over the thing, can be moved directly over the flame. Why? Because area number two, the Yad Soledes Bo, is considered an extension of the fire, so it's not considered like you're initially cooking something. It's already on the fire, just moving it from one spot of the fire to another, and that's permitted. Remember, calling area one is over the fire, area two is Yad Soledes Bo, area three is not Yad Soledes Bo. So if you're on area three before Shabbos, you can't go into two or one. If you're on area two, you could go into one. Now for this halacha, to go from this area of Soledes, we'd need 160 and not 110 because we have to be stringent on the other way. Because let's say 160 is Yad Soledes and 110 isn't. So in case it isn't, you're going from 110, you'd be putting it on a fire. So if it's a one, you have to be very hot. 160, if you're on that 160 area, you can put it right over the fire. Now, cooked food which was left directly above the flame or in the Yad Soledes Bo area, and then for whatever reason, on Shabbos, and then on Shabbos you decide to move it into the non-Yad Soledes Bo area, you could put it back.
Even
if you, as long as it's still warm. still warm. Not hot, but warm. You can move it back. If it was in area one, you could put it to area two or three, and as long as it's still warm, go back to area two or one.
It was, it,
as long as it's still warm, it means that the cooking thing has still kept it going. These are pertain to other laws we haven't learned yet, but that's the, effectively the rules. So it's really a very easy thing. And now look at the picture, and now we can understand the picture really nicely. Let's look where I am pointing, please. Over here. See this pot over here? Cooked foods that were not on the blech before Shabbos may be put on the perimeter of the blech where they cannot come to Yad Soledes Bo. That they can do. Okay? However, you can't put them anywhere else on the stove. Right? Moving foods from the edge of the blech that is not Yad Soledes Bo to the interior, which is Yad Soledes Bo, is forbidden. You can't do that. Fully cooked foods may be moved directly over the flame on Shabbos from the Yad Soledes Bo to right over the flame. And food moved from the Yad Soledes Bo to the perimeter of the blech may be returned to its original position or even beyond. So, basically, let's go with the numbers now. Okay, we're going to play a number game now. Okay, remember, over the flyer is called area number one. Yad Soledes Bo area is called?
Two.
Area number two. The perimeter that's not Yad Soledes Bo is called? Area three. Okay, here we go. You have something that wasn't even on the stove to begin with. What area can you put it on?
Three.
Anywhere else?
No.
Good. Next. You had something on already on before Shabbos in area three. Where can you put it?
Nowhere
else. It has to stay where it's at. If you had something on area two, where can you put it?
One.
You can put it on one. What else can you do?
Three.
I can put on three and then put it back to two and even back to one as long as it hasn't gotten cold. Very good. Something on area one. Where can I put it? I can put area two. I can put area three. And if it's still warm, I can put it from area three. Back to area two. Back to area one. Okay. If I have it on area one, yeah, and I put it in area two, can I put it back to area one if it's cooled down?
No. Not if it's cooled down.
How can it cool down if it's in area two? Trick question. I had to do it. I'm sorry. Scenario two, Yad Soledes Bo. How can it cool down? You know, it's how do you spell red? You know, R-E-D. What happens if you get to a green light? You stop. That same question. Okay, anyway. Okay.
Okay.
You got that? So everybody knows the blech? Now there are certain advantages of the blech. The blech has certain advantages. So let's say you have the soup. You have the soup right on top of the fire. You got the chicken. You know, in a Yad Soledes Bo area. So once you finish serving the soup, you might want to shift it to the perimeter, right? And that's going to stay warm for a while anyway, right? If you want to serve some more soup, you could move it right back over if it's still warmish, right? But now what you could do is get the chicken that you really would like a little bit hotter, you just move it right over the flame, you see. And now it gets a little bit hotter. And that's how you can make everything as hot as possible, right? So that are some advantages to having a blech, all right? So I'm not telling you which one is better. It depends on your cooking style and the kinds of things that you do. And could be sometimes the hot plates. And really, if you have the blech, you will have more perimeter space than with one hot plate, and maybe even with two hot plates. Once you got these really huge hot plates. Some people don't want hot plates on their countertops. It clutters the countertops. And you usually like to keep everything right on the stovetop. So that would be a person who would want to do this. You might want to have a cholent cooking on top of the stovepot the whole Shabbos. And you're going to want to keep it somewhere on the yatzo lettuce bowl part of the blech. That might be something you want to do as well. So you might want to consider a blech. It has a lot of versatility to it. And there certainly is lots of exciting possibilities with it. I almost sound like a gourmet or something. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I've seen another option where people put a big cookie sheet on top of the blech to give you more options for cookies. Does that make most of the area three except for...
A cookie sheet on top of the blech. How is that helping you?
Because you're raising it a bit. Like I'm talking about like a...
So what does that do for you?
You're raising it away from the fire. So.
And therefore...
I haven't heard of that being of any help.
Food on the
it really wouldn't be any different. Not that I'm aware of.
No.
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah.
What about moving food on a hot plate?
Why can't you move food on a hot plate? A hot plate's a hot plate.
No, hot plate also have very hot.
But there's nothing that's considered over the fire. There's no fire on a hot plate. There's nothing there. Now the thing with the blech over the fire, that is going to resemble cooking. Because it is over a live flame. It just happens to be covered, but it's a live flame. The hot plate has no live flame. There's no such thing as a live flame there. So I know there's hotter parts to the hot plate and less hot parts to the hot plate. So it doesn't make a difference because it's fully cooked and there's no flame there, so it will make no difference. Good question.
Anything
that's fully cooked.
Or not cooled down
liquid. You cannot take a frozen chicken with the frozen gravy and put it on the hot plate. You cannot do that. What if you just plan on taking it off after 20 minutes? Why not? Lest you forget and it will cook. That will cook. That will cook that liquid. It will boil. That liquid will boil. Then you're going to have problems. Right? So that, yes sir.
So if you have two elements on, how much area three do you have?
You could have none. It's possible you could have a blech that has no area three. If you've got one kitty corner and the other kitty corner blech's on, you may find the entire blech is yatzo lettuce.
You just have to touch it to see.
Oh, you could find out very quickly. There's no question about that. You can find out very quickly if that area is up. And that might even be better. You might want to have the whole thing yatzo lettuce, so I don't have to worry about any perimeters.
You just can't put
but on the other hand, you can't put anything new on anywhere on that. You see? So that's where the hot plate has the advantage. The hot plate, you could take the cold chicken and put it right on the hot plate. Can't put cold chicken on the yatzo lettuce bowl part of the blech. So again, it depends on your eating style. It depends what kind of food you eat and what kind of food needs you have.
For Shabbos day, what good is the blech you're going to leave food out there all night long?
Oh, you're going to leave your cholent on, won't you? And you could have the cholent on the area that's yatzo lettuce bowl.
And we can't add any new food, so...
What? You could have anything you want to leave on that, and you could put other foods on the non-yatzo lettuce bowl part.
If you have area three left. If you have some area three.
But, you know, what's wrong? You're going to have... You're going to keep kugel on the whole shop. Remember, here's the point. Let's say, so a lot of foods you can leave out all the time. It's not going to spoil. Don't you put foods in warming ovens over Shabbos? Kugels, cholent, certain things you put the whole Shabbos. So you could have your kugel on the perimeter area as long as it doesn't cool down. You have it on the perimeter all night and put it back. If you start on level one or two, put it on level three, and as long as it stays warm, then in the morning you can put it back on level two. It depends on the kind of food you eat. If you eat the kind of food that doesn't spoil, that stays overnight, if you're basically going to have a kugel, kishka, chulent meal the next day, you don't have things that will spoil easily, then the blech might be the way to go. Or what if you just need lots of space? Right? The two hot plates isn't enough, and the crock pot's not enough, and you need more space. Well, then the blech will be a very good option. So it's a good thing to know. Okay, we must stop. It is 1:15. That was a very quick hour and a quarter. So we finished one side of section C, but there's another exciting side, stirring and scooping food from a pot. Well, that's very exciting.
Really stir things up.
So that's going to be next week's class, and perhaps we'll move into an area of maintaining food on a flame before Shabbos. Okay, have a wonderful cooking week. I feel like I'm like Graham Kerr, the galloping gourmet.